It is good to have you with us today. I had quite an experience with passport control. You know, many years ago, Arab countries would not allow you into their country if you had an Israeli stamp in your passport. And some years ago, I'd gone into Israel at the last second to help Samuel. And many times, we'd been in there in and out many times. And what you do is you ask them, they'll stamp a piece of paper and put it in your passport so that the stamp is not in your passport, so you can travel the Arab countries without problems. And I had forgotten. I was in a hurry one time through Israel, forgot it. They stamped my passport. This time I went to Lebanon, and first thing they did, pointed real meanly at the Israeli stamp in my passport, took me out of line, took my luggage, brought me into a back room, interrogated me. What was I doing in Israel? What was I doing when I come to Lebanon? On and on. And so it continued, and finally they let me in. And I got in. When I came out, they gave me a harder time because of the explosion and the bomb attack. And was I part of that? And did this and did that? And Jasmine's already gone. We had to fly different flights. And so I'm wondering whether I'm going to get out of Lebanon or not, and out of Beirut. And finally, I got out of through customs, and thought everything was kind. And I was sitting at the waiting area, and before I went down the ramp to get on the plane, they had another soldier grabbed me, took me aside, interrogated me again, and got me in there. So they wouldn't stamp my passport. They put a piece of paper, because I had an Israeli stamp, they stamped it, and a piece of paper gave it to me. It's whatever I did with that paper, I don't know. I took it, got on the plane. I think I left it on the plane. But when I went into Europe, I went through Paris, and I learned later that the custom controls in Paris are lazy, and they don't stamp half the passports that come in. And so I entered the EU, and when you go into Europe, the European community, you travel between countries without, without passport control all through, just like the United States now. And when I came out of Holland, I thought, well, the worst is behind me. I come out of Holland, and the first thing they do, they open my passport, and they see that there's no entrance stamp, because it doesn't show when I came into Europe. When did you come into Europe? I said, well, I came into less than a week ago. There's no entrance stamp on your passport. When did you come into Europe? How did you get in here? So they take me out of line. They take me to the back room. They said, do you have your e-ticket? I said, yeah. So I gave my e-ticket, and my e-ticket shows me going into Beirut, then coming into Europe. So they look at my passport. There's no stamp going into Beirut or out of Beirut. They said, where did you go? I guess there's no stamp into Beirut, no out of stamp. And then they said, were you part of the bombing? I said, oh, God, help me. Blonde hair, blue eyes. I said, I'm an American. I love apple pie. I said, I'm not doing anything like that. So I finally got out and got back in. We had some strange happenings. So in Europe right now, there's a strange phenomenon happening that people are committing suicide by jumping in front of trains. That's a horrible thing. But Jasmine and I were on a train from Amsterdam to a city called Maastricht, and they had a suicide happen to us. Someone jumped in front of our train, and they stopped it, and it took police came and all. So it was a unique experiences over there, and all that took place. But we did preach 25 times. We spoke between Jasmine and I, and so we had the spirit of Samuel fall on us. So we have spoken. And it was quite a unique experience, so we really enjoyed it. So won't you stand up this morning? I'm gonna share something that I believe is the word of the Lord. I worked on it while I was in Europe. And yesterday morning, I'm doing my Bible reading, our normal Bible reading that we do if you're reading with us. And yesterday morning was Ezekiel 37, which I'm going to preach about. But first one is, let's reach out of the book of Jeremiah. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my what? Shut up in my bones. And I am weary with holding it in. I cannot. There is a burning, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. One of the amazing things we looked at, we watched the service last Sunday, because we're 7 hours ahead of you in Europe. So I'd already preached at the Indonesian church last Sunday morning. And in the afternoon, we were in the Indonesian home. And they had the internet. So we watched the service last Sunday. And the funny thing was, we looked at the weather, and you were 20 degrees colder here than we were in Europe. And there's a saying that we have in Virginia, where I grew up, and we say, when it got cold, my grandma used to say this, is I feel it in my bones. You ever heard that saying? Man, I feel it in my bones. And I had a feeling last week you felt it in your bones when you went outside. And so everybody said that. Say, I feel it in my bones. Would you say that? So that's the name of the sermon this morning, is I feel it in my bones. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Let the word of God go deep, Lord, beyond our natural minds into our bones. We thank you for your word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even joints and marrow. So we pray this morning, Lord, speak a word to us. Give us, let your promises ring true. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said good amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, it's a word for somebody today, because that was our reading yesterday, and I'm just going to read it and we'll go from there. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of what? It was a valley full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many of them on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were what? You ever saw a bone that's bleached, a bone that's dry? Not just, you know, you see some bones that are juicy, you give to your dog. But he said, he brought me into a valley that these bones had been bleached. They'd been in the sun. They were so dry, they were brittle. They were dry bones, very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered him, I ain't got a clue. Oh God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, how many know that bones have ears? How many know mountains have ears? You say to this what? Say to the mountain. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there, listen, that must have been a scary sight. I don't know about you, but if I'd been in that valley that day, and there was a bunch of bodies, suddenly they had skin, they had eyes, they looked, and there wasn't one of them alive. They're all standing there at attention, and they're staring at him, and wasn't one of them alive. And it says, then he said, prophesy to the breath. And the word breath is the word pneuma. It's the word that's interchangeable used is breath, wind, or spirit in the Old Testament. And he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. And he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house. Everybody say whole house. There was two nations. There was the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom. He said, this is a word to the whole nation, both of them. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll open up your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it, declares the Lord. The nation of Israel had been taken captive by Babylon. They were in a foreign land. The temple had been completely burnt to the ground. The houses, the walls of Jerusalem were torn down. And Israel, in Babylonian captivity, crying out to the Lord, Ezekiel was among them in Babylon. And he began to prophesy to them this saying, and he began to talk to them. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I enjoy about being a Christian is it's the high life, because God brings us into the high life. You can live in a high life, and that is the promises God has for us, where he takes us, what he does through us. And I love those times when no obstacle stands before me, when the faith is there, when things are clicking. When I'm standing there and every promise that God ever told me is coming true. But I learned something about my life is I don't only live on mountaintops. I live in valleys also. And there's a certain amount of time you will find in your life that you live on the mountaintop, and a certain amount of your time you will find that you live in the valleys. If you think you're going to get out of one or the other, you're not living in the real world. But I found out, as I said, they're not all lived on the mountaintop. And in our lives, we spend a certain amount of time in either or the other. And God showed Ezekiel this valley, and it was filled with something called dry bones. Not just bones, but dry bones. Bones that had been bleached. And I want to ask you, because when God came to Ezekiel, he asks him a question. And he asked him, he said, Ezekiel, I want to ask you a question. You see these bones that are dead and dry. I want to ask you a question. Do you think these bones can live? Verse 3. He said to me, can these bones live? And Ezekiel was truthful. He said, I don't know, but only you know, God. And really, now think about it. He's talking about the situation they found themselves in. They were captives in a foreign land. They'd been absolutely defeated by the king of Babylon, the nation of Babylon, with a ruthless people. And they had destroyed, their cities were destroyed. The Jeremiah had written the book of Lamentations, and it's as if Jerusalem is personified and is crying out, and my walls are destroyed. Everything is gone. It's the lamentations of the city of Jerusalem. So there were no hope. And here God brings Ezekiel on the scene, and he says, I want you to look at this situation you're in. And I'm going to dramatize it. I'm going to make a drama out of this valley of dry bones, but it's really talking about your situation that you face and find yourself in right now. Can these bones live? And the Bible says, Ezekiel says with all his heart, I don't know. I really do not know. I don't have the faith for it. I don't know. But Lord God, you know. How many know there's sometimes that only God knows? Everybody say amen. But I like that feeling, because I love that statement is, I feel it in my bones. Because it's interesting when you begin to study the Eastern mindset. Because many times we're a Western mindset and we think that we understand. And it takes a little bit of understanding to get into the Eastern mindset. How they thought, what they believed, how they operated. The Greek method of learning is a classroom type learning, but that wasn't among the Hebrews. The Hebrews and that Eastern mindset was more mentoring. It was, you worked with somebody, you got a rabbi, you talked with them, you lived with them, you ate with them. The Greek method of learning was put you in a classroom and have a chalkboard and teach you that way, but that's not the way the Hebrews learned, or the Eastern mentality was. And one of the things they had was about bones. There was a big deal about bones. And it's interesting, because when you find out that God was wanting to establish something with that Eastern mentality people, many times he went beyond the flesh and blood and he went to their bones. Archaeologists can dig, and in a dig they can find out so many things about a civilization, about how, what they ate, what they lived, how they lived, their brain development. You know, male, female, all kinds of things they do on a dig, and they do that by the bones that they dig up. And many times you'll find them where you'll hear all this and that about a dig, and this is what they learn. But literally, he deals with the bones, and he comes in, because the flesh turns into baldness and bifocals, bunions and bulges. And literally, the flesh does not have the strength to see some things brought to pass. But many times what God did in the Eastern mentality was, God would come to a people and he would make a covenant with their bones. It was a big concept in the Eastern mentality mindset. In fact, you see it in the beginning of the Bible, because the Bible says in the beginning that God created Adam, and Adam named all the animals, but when at the end of it there was not a mate found for Adam that was suitable for him. And so the Bible says God calls in Genesis, God calls a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And the Bible says what God did when he wanted to establish a promise to him, that I'm going to give you a mate, I'm going to give you something beyond your understanding, I'm going to give you something that you don't have faith for, I'm going to give you something that nothing else in the world can satisfy. No the animals, no the kingdom of all that, nothing and all of that could be found a mate suitable for Adam. So what God does is he comes on the scene and he says, I'm going to do something in you that's going to be a covenant between you and something. And I'm going to do something. You don't understand now, but I'm going to put a deep sleep on you. And God, the Bible says, reached into that man and did not pull out flesh, did not pull out sinew, did not pull out blood. The Bible says God reached into Adam and pulled out a what? He pulled out a bone. And from that bone, he fashions a woman. From that bone, from that rib, he fashions a woman. And the Bible says, when that woman is brought before him, here's the first words out of Adam's mouth. This is now bone, what? Bone of my bone. And out of that bone came the flesh. Out of that bone came the life. But it was a covenant with bone. It was God said, I'm going to do something that you don't understand. I'm going to make a deep sleep fall upon you. When you come to the time in the book of Exodus, and Israel is now taken down into the land of Egypt. And it all occurred because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had 12 sons. And part of the sons got jealous at one of the sons named Joseph, sold him down into Egypt. And Joseph, after years and years of dealing with one challenge after another, is raised up, becomes second in command in Egypt. In that process, he brings his family down into Egypt. And when he brings them down into Egypt, he knows this. He has foresight. He knows a day will come when they will become slaves in the land of Egypt. And Joseph, though, sees something, because here's what he says. There's a promise that we have of a land. There's a promise God's made to us that it's a land. It's a promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, you're going to be down here 400 years. You're going to be slaves during that time. But there will come a time, God has promised, there will come a time when you will leave this land and you will be taken back to the land of Israel. And he said, but I want you to make a promise to me, because my flesh and my blood cannot see that promise brought to pass. But my bones will see that promise brought to pass. Because he said this, I want you to make, go and put that up. He said, Joseph remained in Egypt, and he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh. They counted Joseph as his own. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry my what? You're going to carry, listen, my bones will be a symbol of the promise that God has made. And though I will not see it come to pass in my flesh and blood, I will see it come to pass with my bones. Because my bones will leave this place. Don't leave my bones down in Egypt. I want you to care. Can you imagine the day they marched out of Egypt when Moses came and all the plagues upon Egypt came, and when the firstborn was killed and Egyptians thrust them out, somewhere in that crowd there was a casket, and in that casket was the bones of Joseph. And though he did not see it in his flesh, he saw it in his bones. He said, my bones is coming, because there's something about endurance. There's something about your bones last longer than your flesh. When everything else has turned to ashes, your bones is still standing there. So the Bible says, he said, bring my bones. It'd be a symbol. My bones will be a symbol of the promise that God has made to you. This morning I can tell you, God has made some of you some promises. And whether you know it or not, God is going to bring those things to pass. And I don't want you to go down, listen, the valley, because a lot of us want to stay on the mountaintops. Because in the valley is the valley of dry bones of our lives. And in there we see promises that have not yet been brought to pass. And we've given up on them. We've given to the place where we don't know if it'll ever come to pass. But I'm going to tell you, Joseph knew, I'm not going to see this with my eyes. I'm not going to see this with my flesh. But my bones will see the promise brought to pass. I will go back to the land. That promise will come to pass. I will go back with the children of Israel. And so the Bible says he did it and it came to pass. Hebrews 11:22 says it this way. Look what Hebrews 22 says. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. You know what he did? There was, by faith he did this. By faith he said, it's going to come to pass. But I want my bones to go with you. There's something, everybody say, I feel it in my bones. We say, I feel it in my bones this morning. So what happens is, because you don't have the faith for it. Some of you don't want to go back down in that valley of your valley of dry bones, because you don't have the faith of what God wants to do in your life. You don't have the faith to see it come to pass. It's standing. Those bones are standing as a testimony that God says, I've made some promise to you, and they may not have come to pass yet. And the worst thing about your valley of dry bones is they're all disconnected. Because one thing doesn't connect to that thing. I mean, they've been chewed by animals. They've been strode throughout that valley. And they're not sitting laying there like they were skeletons put together. Their bones had been ripped apart, and they're all over the place. Everything is mixed up. And they're disconnected things. Things that are disconnected, the valley of dry bones. They're disconnected things that do not make sense. Things that should have happened that didn't happen. There's a lot of bones that are laying here, and promises that God has made, and circumstances have come in my life, and they really are disconnected. I don't understand why this happened, and then I've got this going on over here, and then I've got this, and then I've got this going on, and then I've had that going on in my 20s and my 40s over here, and then this occurred. And so I've got in this valley of dry bones all these things stuck around everywhere that literally make no sense. They're not connected. And God said, I can leave you on the mountain to rejoice over that one promise or two promises that have come true in your life. But he said, I want to bring you down in your valley of dry bones. Things that seem they're disconnected, things that are disjointed, things that have been torn apart and seem to have no relation one to the other. I want to bring you down there And I want to deal with you, and I want to bring you through some things and show you that what I promised will come to pass. Let every man be a liar, let God be true. Everybody say amen. There's some things it takes God to do. There's some things. Listen, when God speaks a word of covenant, God makes with us. The Bible tells us that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came carrying the burdens of Joseph. And there are some things that God wants to do in our life that literally will not come to pass in flesh and blood. There's some things, listen, your flesh and your blood will never see them come to pass, but your bones will see them come to pass. There was a prophet named Elijah one time. And Elijah was a great man of God. It was unbelievable the miracles that he did. And he had a servant named Elisha. Almost the same name, but not quite. And one day Elijah knew that he was about to be taken to heaven. And he goes to Elisha. And he said, "What do you want me to do for you before I leave and go to heaven?" And Elisha says this, "I want a double portion of your anointing." Can you imagine Elijah? "You've asked a hard thing, but if you see me go to heaven, you'll get what you asked for." And the Bible says that that day that came, Elijah kept trying to get Elisha to stay. "Now stay here, I'll be..." He said, "No, I will not leave you. I know today you're leaving." And the Bible says the chariots and the fiery chariot from heaven came with the horses. Elijah got on, threw his mantle off as he was rising to heaven, and Elisha caught the mantle. And he said, "Oh, my father, the horsemen and the chariots of God." And the Bible says he went to heaven, and Elisha then took the mantle, and he went to the river, and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And hit the river, and the Bible says the river parted. You should read the life of Elisha. Elisha began to do twice as much as Elijah did. He had received a double portion than Elijah. But many scholars read it, and they did a count on that. And when Elisha died, he was one miracle short of doing twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And they bury him and put him in a cave, and his flesh rots off his bones. But watch this. So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried who was dead, behold, a marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man hit the what? Hit the bones of Elisha, he came alive. Last miracle done. Double it. Come on, somebody. Never count God out. Because when you come to that place and you think it can't happen, listen, your flesh and blood may not see it come to happen, but your bones are going to see it come to happen. The Bible says he hit that thing and he took off. Everybody say amen one more time, would you? Some of you have broken promises. This is this understanding that the ancients carried all throughout the Old Testament. That's why when you grasp this thing about bones, you can find out that something, when a person overthrew an enemy many times, they would burn their bones. The reason they did that was they felt that if their bones still existed, there was still a promise, and those promises could be brought to pass. In John chapter 19, that's why the amazing thing, you've got to get out of your Western mentality. The Eastern mindset was about as long as a man's bones were there, then the promise could still come to pass. And the Bible says this, and there's a strange thing that you think about. There was a promise given to Jesus that was strange if you really think about it, and it concerned his bones. And because it's like God didn't give a promise about his flesh, because his flesh was torn open, his flesh was ripped with the cat of nine tails. He was beaten as if he did not even resemble a man. But God gave a promise about his bones. He said, "There's going to be this. I'll make you a promise. Not one bone." Well, why did he care about his flesh? Why did he care about, you know, all the other? But God, because you don't understand the Eastern mentality. As long as a man's bones were still intact, the promise was going to come to pass. So John says this about him. Soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a sword, and at once there came out blood and water. And he who saw it bore witness. His testimony is true and knows that he's telling the truth, and that you may also believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his what? Not one of his bones would be broken. You know why? Because as long as his bones were intact. There's something about bones that when God began to do that, when you begin to read the Bible, God made a covenant with his bones. So when you come to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was brought into a valley of dry bones. And when he comes there, have you ever gone through a low place in your life where you started looking back over the ruins of your life? We have a tendency in the low moments of our life to look back over those things and think, man, if this would have happened, that would have happened. Why did this occur? Why did that occur? And in Ezekiel chapter 37, in the midst of that place, the voice of God comes into Ezekiel. And just like the voice is coming into some of you this way, I want you to hear this. Because I know this is a word today for us. Listen, God came into Ezekiel when he's looking in this situation. Israel is now absolutely devastated. Many have been killed. Many have been sacrificed. The city is destroyed, completely burnt to the ground. Israel is captive over in the land of Babylon. And God comes and says to him, I want you to look at this. I want you to face this situation head on. I don't want you to deny it. I don't want you to think it's not happening. It's happening. But now I want to ask you a question. What do you think about it, Ezekiel? What do you really think about it? What do you think about it, Ezekiel? And he asks him in verse 3, he says this, Son of man, can these bones live? And the Bible says, God, he said, I don't really know. And he said, oh Lord, you know. How many know that sometimes it's good to be honest with God? Say, I don't know, God. I don't have a clue. I don't have the faith for this. I don't know, God. Can your child? I don't know, God. What about your husband? I don't know, God. What about my marriage? I don't know, God. What about my financial? I don't know. I don't know, God. I don't. Can it live? I don't know. It looks dead to me. And it looks disconnected. It looks bad to me. And God comes and says, what do you think? You think they can live or not? And I like this. Go to the next scripture. Then he said to me, everybody say prophesy. The word prophesy means this. Prophesy over these bones. It means to speak the will and the mind of God over something. To prophesy means to speak the mind or the will of God over something. We made up in our mind, listen, we made up in our mind with our kids that we were going to speak the mind and the will of God over our kids. I made up my mind when our kids, we weren't perfect parents, except maybe me, but Jasmine was not a perfect parent. And so we didn't do everything right with our kids. We didn't do all that. But one thing we did with our kids, we spoke the mind and the will of God over our kids. What the Lord gave us, we spoke it. What the Lord told me to say, I said over my kids. You're going to be on fire for God. You're going to love God with all your heart. You're going to serve God all the days of your life. God's got a call on your life. So we spoke as we spoke or prophesied the mind and the will of God over it. I prophesied, and I love this part in verse 7. Watch this. It said, listen, let me just say this. Stop prophesying your hurt. Stop prophesying your anger. Stop prophesying your doubt. Because when you prophesy your doubt will grow. When you prophesy your hurt will grow. When you prophesy, your pain will grow. Prophesy what God says about a situation. Say what God said about a situation. Get out of your own hurt. Get out of your own pain. Get out of your own littleness. Begin to say what God said. But I love what he says here, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He didn't say I had the faith to do it because he already acknowledged he did. And he said, I don't know. You know, God. Sometimes you just got to prophesy as you are commanded. There were seasons I wanted to kill my children, but I kept prophesying as the Lord told me to prophesy. I would say what God said. I would speak what God said. I would say over them what God said. And what times is whether you've got faith or you don't have faith, prophesy as you are commanded. Come on, somebody. Say what God says over a situation. And he says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And God commanded you. I'm not going to speak about my hurt. I'm going to speak the mind and the will of God over my situation. I'm going to say, listen, bones, you're going to live. I say to my children, you're going to be saved. I say to my kids, you're going to love God all the days of your life. And verse 7 says this. And so he prophesied as he was commanded. And verse 7 says, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, a rattling, and I didn't know how to connect all these things. I didn't know how that situation connected to this situation, and that over there connected to this one, and that one over there connected to this. I didn't know how all those disconnected things fit together. But if you will speak what God says to speak, God will take the evil and turn it for good. Come on, somebody. If you say what God said, there'll be in the spirit realm a rattling taking place. And God will take that situation and connect it with that situation and this situation, connect it with that situation. And there will be a coming together of things that seem so disconnected in your life. Things that are so disjointed. Things that are so out of rhythm. And God will bring those things if you prophesy as you are commanded. If you will say what the Word of God says. For the Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's the bones. The joint, the Bible says the Word of God will cut down deep into the bones. And you begin to see those things that were disconnected begin to come together. And what you thought was horrible suddenly will be brought over here, and God will connect it with something else. And next thing you know, there'll be somebody standing up there where it will be brought to pass. Come on, somebody. It's a process that God's doing in your life. So you speak as you are commanded. You begin to understand that one of the things you'll understand, and yet listen to this. One of the biggest problems we ever have in our life is when you don't understand this, write this truth. You don't write anything else down today, write this down. Everything has a reason and a season. But the biggest problem, here's what you write down. The biggest problem I found with people, everybody tries to figure out the reason out of the right season. If you try to figure everything out right when it's happening, you will get frustrated, you'll get discouraged, you'll get despondent, you'll get angry at God, you'll get upset, you'll get bad at your brother and sisters. You'll get furious. If you try to figure out the reason out of due season. But later on down the line, when the right season comes, you'll look back and say, it was good that I was afflicted. Oh, now I see what's taking place. The Bible says devout men carried Stephen to his burial place, making loud lamentations. Because they could not understand why God would allow a young man named Stephen in the book of Acts, so much promise, so many years to live ahead of him, why God would allow him to go down in the hell of stones. So they were trying to figure out the reason at that right time. But the Bible says that torch as it was falling never hit the ground because another young man named Saul of Tarsus was standing there and took that torch up. And the Bible says, months later on the road to Damascus, God appears to Saul of Tarsus and says, isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? What pricks? That's where they go to the animals to make them go back there. They'd prick them. They'd prick them. You know what's pricking his heart? Was Stephen standing there preaching to that religious bunch of people. And then when he was being stoned by them, said, Lord, forgive them. Do not hold this to their charge. And Paul could never get that out of his mind. And the first sermon he ever preaches on the hill in Athens, you read it, he almost preached the same sermon that Stephen preached because he never got it out of his heart. Years later, we look and say, oh, there's the reason in due season I understood it. Yesterday, I don't know how many of you like football. Yesterday, they had the Iron Bowl playing yesterday. And the game went down. It was tied. It was absolutely tied. And the last minute or seconds were clicking off the clock. And the running back for Alabama had the ball charging. And the running back runs out of bounds with 1 second on the clock. They go back. They determine. And everybody, did the clock run out? Did the clock not run out? And finally, they determined the clock did not run out. He put his foot down with 1 second left to play. And Alabama had a redshirt freshman who kicked 60-yard field goals in practice all the time. And the field goal would be 57 yards long. And Auburn is over there debating, fighting against it. Why? You know, one. And so the ball is brought back, placed. The redshirt freshman is brought in. And let's watch the rest of it, would you?
Number 8 block kick can go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up.
On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block.
I couldn't help myself. I had to play it. When Auburn is sitting there, can you imagine 1 second left on this guy's kick? Can you imagine in their heart they said, it's over? How many know they didn't find the reason they were out of season. But 1 second later, they found it was all different. I just threw that in. That doesn't make sense, but I just had to show that. You know, there was a young guy one time. His heart's desire was to go to mission field, and he married a young lady, and they got married. And the day came when they went before the board who would either send them overseas or not. And they found out the young girl that he had married had asthma and could not deal with the situation of the country they were going to. And so they denied him. And heartbroken, he went back and worked with his dad, who was a dentist. But his heart was broken because he couldn't be on the mission field any longer. And his dad, in the process of time, began a little side business of dentistry. He wanted to put the money into something. He made money, so he put the money. And they started a little grape juice, selling grape juice. And in time, it became Welch's. You know what Welch's grape juice. And if you don't know that this son headed up that company and gave millions and millions and millions to missions. But if you judge something, a reason, try to get the reason out of season, you'll never understand it. One time the Black Plague was ravishing Europe, and it was ravishing London. And suddenly in the midst of all that, the Christians were crying out to God. Suddenly there was a fire. If you hear the Great Fire of London, when almost all of London was burnt to the ground. And years later on, they found this. The reason of the Black Plague was being carried was the rats down in the sewer was literally carrying the disease and spreading the disease everywhere. And the Great Fire of London killed all that. And so sometimes when you judge something out of season, you'll come to a place in your life where you don't really understand. So you've got to come to that. And verse 8 says this. It says that, I looked and behold, there were sinew on them, and flesh came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now, I told you this. I don't know about a spookier place, but that would be a spooky place. All these bodies now have flesh on them. All these bodies have sinew. All these bodies are sitting there, but not a one of them are alive. Valley full of dead bodies standing up on their feet, not a one of them alive. I don't know. You know, some of these prophets had some hard jobs. He's looking and he said, they look alive, but they ain't alive. How many know you can have a marriage that looks alive, but there's no life in it? How many know you can come to church and carry your 16-pound King James Bible and appear to be alive, but you're not alive? How many think it'd be good to go on and get alive? How many think it'd be just go on and get alive? Just get alive. And so the Bible says, hear what God said to him. He said, I looked, he said, wake up and strengthen what remains and what's about to die, for I found, not found your works complete in God. See, there was a church in the book of Revelation that literally the Bible says it looked alive, but it was not alive. It says, you have a name that you live, but yet you're dead. Now look at Ezekiel 37, look at verse 9. And God tells Ezekiel, do something very unusual. I want you, look at what he says. He said to me, now I want you to prophesy to the breath. The word breath is the word pneuma. And it's word used for either breath or wind or spirit. It was used interchangeably in the Old Testament. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came into them, They lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, I want you to get that because the Bible says, God said, now here's the next thing I want you to do. I want you to prophesy to something you have no control over. I want you to prophesy something you cannot see. I want you to prophesy to something, and here's what I said. I want you to prophesy from the north, the south, the east, and the west. All four corners of the earth. And what he was saying this, I want you to prophesy life. I want you to prophesy breath. Breath will come into these living things. And I want you to know something. When you begin to do what God said for you to do, life is coming at you from every angle of your life. When you think God can only do it from this angle, God's coming behind you. You don't even know life is coming towards you. When you're looking to this way, you don't know life's coming from the other angle. When you begin to speak in the spirit realm, when you begin to say things over your situation, say it over your children, say it over your business, say it over your marriage, begin to speak what God said. I've got a dead marriage. Oh, that's right. But I'm speaking to the breath and the wind of God. Breathe on my marriage, oh God. From all the angles that things begin to come into that place. So the Bible says he began to prophesy as he was commanded. And the Bible says wind began to come from all four corners of the earth. Listen, if you speak negative, negative is going to grow in your life. If you speak unbelief, unbelief is going to grow in your life. If you speak doubt, doubt's going to grow in your life. You speak your pain, pain's going to grow in your life. You need to begin to say and speak what God tells you to say. Everybody say amen one more time. God wants you to say what He wants you to say. The great thing is, speaking in every direction, God comes and does what He wants to do. And the wind came, and I'm going to tell you this morning, some of you doubt what God can do, but God can do it. And it comes, and the Bible says, listen, He began to speak to these bones. Can these bones live? Listen, God has not called us to preach the problem. God has called us to prophesy the answer. God wants you not to always be harping on your kids about this and that. Begin to speak the thing. My dad's sitting here. My mom came separate this morning. Mom came to the 9 o'clock. Dad's at the 11. When I was young, my mom and dad spoke over me continually what God told them to speak. They used to tell me over and over, you're special. God's got a calling on your life. God's going to do something in your life. God's got this. God's got that. You prophesy. We've prophesied over our kids. I made up in my mind that I would not believe the lie that this generation would not have a heart for God. For the Bible says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Come on. So I began to speak. I said, I'm not a perfect parent, but I'm speaking to my kids. They're going to be used of God. They're going to prophesy. They're going to speak the word. They're going to preach the word of God. They're going to say the things they're going to say. You go into houses and your business and all that comes. So all in all, let God begin to... Musicians, won't you come up? We're out of time. Musicians, come on up. This morning, I want you to get ready. I don't know what situation you're facing. I don't know what death is in your place. I don't know what you're having to deal with. But you begin to speak the word of God over your life. You know, one of the great things about God is this. In the book of Psalms 22, it says that God, that's really the Psalms where it's Jesus speaking on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But one of the places He says, all my bones are out of joint. Psalms 22, I think it's 14. And like He could feel it in His bones. When He was crucified, He felt it in His bones. He felt it in His bones. But one of the great things about Adam, when Adam and Eve were brought before Him, it's now bone of my bone. Paul quotes that in the book of Corinthians, and he said, that's a great mystery. He said, because it's really, he said, it's talking about Adam and Eve, but in a deeper sense, he said, it's talking about us and Jesus. Jesus and His bride. Jesus and His church. Can I tell you this morning that you are bone of His bone this morning? When He was raised from the dead, they were afraid one time that He was a spirit. He said, touch me, because a spirit doesn't have bones. Let me tell you something about Jesus this morning. His bones are still intact. Still intact. And we are bone of His bone. This morning, we are part of it. Everybody stand up this morning, would you? I don't know what situation you're looking at. Maybe the valley. Maybe the valley of dry bones of your life. And it may be so dry and dead. And God's asking you, do you think they can live? Can these live? What do you think? You think that can live? You think that promise can ever be brought to pass? You think I can do what I said I would do? Do you think, Ezekiel, I can bring him out of Babylon and bring him back home? Do you believe I can do that? God worked it out. God did it all. I mean, God brought him back. And God's saying the same thing to you. Now close your eyes. Well, sometimes you have to do that to be able to see. Do you think it can live? Do you think that thing can... No, Pastor. I mean, it's long dead and gone. It's very, very dry bones. Oh, really? God cannot... Can this... I don't know. Well, why don't you command... Why don't you speak as you're commanded? Won't you prophesy as you're commanded? Won't you speak to those dry bones this morning? When you pray this, Lord, send a fire down in my bones. Won't you do that? The bones that you're looking at, the very dry bones, sing it for them this morning. Speak to your bones. Speak to the bones in your life. Speak to the valley of broken, disconnected dreams and promises that you don't know how they can ever come to pass. Won't you begin to now to say, Lord, I'm going to say what you told me to say at the very beginning. I'm saying it again right now. I may not have faith, but I'm going to speak as I was commanded. I'm going to prophesy as I was commanded. And some of you, some of the things have come together more lately, and now you begin to see, I need to begin to speak to the four winds and the breath of God to come at them from every angle, bring them back alive. Bring it back alive this morning. Come on, let's all begin to sing. Come on, lift your voices. Come on, sing it. Come on, sing it again. Set a fire down in my bone that I can't contain, that I can't control. More of you, God. I want. Come on, give him a great shout offering today. Come on, give him a good clap offering. Okay, close your eyes. All these things that you're facing, you like Joseph, like of old, he said, all these things are against me, but they're not. Jacob said that of old. You know, he said, Joseph is dead, Simeon is all these. No, those things aren't against you. That 1 second back on the clock, that's not against you. God's going to work it out for you good. And what you think the devil meant for evil, God's going to work in. Listen, all those disconnected things, all those dreams and promises that have not come to pass yet, the things you're afraid to open the door and go in and look at, the things you're afraid to talk about, things you've forgotten about, today God's bringing those back to your memory. And God's asking you, as he did Ezekiel, can these bones live, son? Can these bones live, daughter? And you can say with your heart, Lord, only you know. And then listen to the Lord's command. Won't you speak this over them? Prophesy this over them. Say this over them. Say that. Prophesy this. Speak to that mountain. Say to this bones. Prophesy to them. Begin to speak to them. Oh, I know it looks dead. I know it's beyond repair. I know it's so disconnected you have no way in the world to do it on your own. But God knows where every little piece goes. God knows where every little bone goes. When you're going to do what God, what you do, what you can do, God will do what he does. When you know you don't have a, and then you just, out of obedience, you speak and prophesy as you was commanded to speak. And then you stop trying to figure out the reason out of season. Let some time go by. God will give, God will tell you later. And if not in this life, in the life to come. So Lord, this morning we just say, we speak to our valley of dry bones, live. And we say with all our heart, we thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. To go beyond the realm that we have no control over, but we speak to it. Come, Lord, from the four winds, four directions of heaven. Bring life into this situation. Speak fresh life into it. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said a good amen. Give Lord one more good clap off. Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, 10 o'clock.